Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends join in a special spy agency. As always, I am Agent Water Zach.
I am Agent Coffee Zach.
Well, fuck you guys.
Come on. There's two things that you could have pointed out.
You be Snapple.
Tea. Agent
T. I don't drink tea.
You be Agent Gatorade. Or Powerade. Whichever one you
Agent
do drink.
Agent LaCroix.
I don't drink LaCroix. LaCroix is disgusting. But I am Agent Powerade then, Steven.
I didn't even warn you guys for the intro. I totally forgot. I just wanted to save the water joke.
I figured it was going to be Kingsman.
Yeah, so yesterday we saw Kingsman 2.
We'll save that for later, though.
The golden circle.
The real golden circle was the journey along the way. Literally, walking out of that movie, I'm like, oh, that's what the golden circle actually is.
Oh, clever.
Yeah.
But that probably wasn't their intention to begin with.
Or was it?
We'll see later.
To be revealed in Kingsman 3.
So one of the big things that happened this week that's not Kingsman related, but is still ever so related to the comic world, is the Fantastic Four is seemingly coming back, !
Get your clickbait here, folks.
So Alex Ross this week posted a sketch in progress or proof of concept of Sue Storm and Reed Richards in their Fantastic Four garb, but with a new stylized Four logo. And then deleted the picture. And then, you know, Reddit being the...
Because that can't mean anything.
I'm so proud of these weird people on Reddit that, like, screen cap or save every single fucking
thing. Oh, the Reddit...
Thing.
You mean the Reddit detectives.
Well, not even detectives.
No, that's what they're called, the Reddit detectives. Like, where they literally save everything and then put it together later.
Like, do they just follow everybody on Twitter and then just stare at their Twitter feed all day?
I mean, that's what I do.
They probably have it open in a second window.
Like, yeah, like one new tweet. Click. Nothing worthy. One new tweet. Now. One new tweet. Reed Richards and Sue Storm.
Screen cap.
So, with that big reveal, there was also, phone, stop. This is why I had to restart you before we started. Marvel announced the revival of the Marvel 2-in-1 comic, which is actually going to be a miniseries by Chip Zdarsky called Legacy, which... will reunite Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm on a search for the Richards family in a story called The Fates of the Four.
So there's going to be another Marvel series called Legacy after Marvel Legacy.
Well, no, yes. It's part of the Legacy lineup.
Okay, so it's Legacy within Legacy.
I tried putting my hood on with the headphones. It just felt weird.
So why not call this Legaception?
I don't know. I just Fate of the Four reminds me more of a Fantastic Four movie.
Fate of the Furious.
I want to see Ben Grimm and... Johnny Storm drifting in some cars.
They're drifting in the Fantastic Mobile.
Then get in a wrench fight on top of a parking garage.
Well, I mean, if it's anything like the Fast and the Furious movies, they got to go to like the edge of the universe since that's the last known location of the Fantastic Four.
Well, it kind of weirds me out and bothers me to a small degree that they're bringing back all these old retro titles. In order to kind of like hype up Legacy even more, even the whole Bucky Hawkeye story being called Tales of Suspense really doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
I feel like that one was a grab.
Because it's number 100.
Well, no, more of like the, all right, we're going Legacy numbers, just like DC. Huh, people aren't buying it. What'd they bring back? Detective Comics and Action Comics with those numbers? Let's bring back an old title with big numbers on it, too.
Well, it's like even Marvel 2-in-1. It's like, this series, you get your Fantastic Four team-up of The Thing and Johnny Storm. Two characters in one comic.
The Fantastic Two.
No way. So awesome. I feel like we just shit on Marvel so much, but I feel like they do it themselves.
We're reiterating their shit. It's like they put something out there, and all we have to do is grab it and just say it again, and you're like, that doesn't sound good.
Just like say it a couple times and you realize like that sounds really dumb.
Like when something doesn't have the pomp and circumstance behind it, like a Marvel announcement does, it doesn't sound that intriguing.
It's the same as like the,
Or when literally everything in Marvel is, it's going to change everything.
Every issue is an event. No, Marvel.
Please no.
That's what we're sick of.
One, it's not. Two, stop calling them that.
So it's More than anything, it reminds me of like the pomp and circumstance of an Apple presentation.
Yes.
Like, the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. So it's the iPhone X that has the same exact specs as your 2015 Galaxy S6.
So I'm confused. Is the iPhone X what's coming out next?
Yes.
Like, No.
So the
8's coming out like in 2 weeks. And then in November, the iPhone 10 comes out.
No, it's not the 10, it's the X.
No, they've even said that it's called the
X. So now they're copying Windows by skipping 9.
Yes. Also, it makes no fucking sense. It's like, okay, so you can...
But it's the 10th anniversary.
No, someone probably looked at it like, yeah, we could call this the iPhone 9. But X looks more extreme.
Well, okay, I'll give them the X because it is the 10th anniversary. That makes sense.
Why not just call it the X phone?
The X phone?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm about to jump
or
off the Apple.
Phone IX. That way it's still a 9.
I'm about to jump off the Apple.
From what train. I'm seeing, the Pixel XL is going to be as expensive as the 8.
The XL 2, yeah. It's going to be like $949.
Which I do want to get a Pixel.
I'm going to get it.
And if I can find like an unlocked one and stay with Sprint, because I got a pretty fucking good deal with them.
Right. I'm planning on going to Google Fi.
So how come Action Comics and Detective Comics doesn't bother us, but the entire Legacy renumbering bothers us?
Because it's so forced.
Yeah, I mean, I've explained my hate for how they just literally took titles with the same name and put them together to get certain numbers.
Like, yeah, Detective Comics makes sense is because it's taking into account only Detective Comics. Like, it took the original run up to... 9 whatever.
Or, yeah, to New 52.
And yeah, then added the New 52 run into it. That made sense. When they're like, all right, we need to make Legacy. We need to make Legacy numbering. What are we going to do? How about if we take every single version of that character ever and put them in one number?
Yeah, that's fair. I read Ultimates Squared. Or what is now known as Ultimates 100, yeah, where they had like the Ultimate Universe characters, like, we're off to find our own galaxy again.
We're off to see the wizard.
And I'm like, oh, did they just kind of like hint at the Ultimate Universe finally coming back? Like, you know, Brian Michael Bendis.
They made such a big deal about killing that off, and they're like, okay, I guess people still want it.
Come on, Ultimate X-Men with the twincest.
Oh, God, no, please.
Well, Lannisters eat your heart.
It's so fucking trippy because in Ultimate 100, like, Hank in a. What was it?
Jane? Yeah, I didn't read all
Wasp. Who's the original Wasp?
Jane.
Yeah. So Hank and Jane are sitting there talking. Was it Jane? I want to say it's Jane. Jane Van Dyne.
Or was it Janet?
Janet Van Dyne.
I thought Jan's the daughter. But anyways, Hank and Wasp, Ant-Man and Wasp, or Giant Man and Wasp, actually, because of fucking Ultimate Comics.
Come on.
I had to get my name straight because, you know, Hank Pym had six different goddamn names.
It's Janet Van Dyne.
Yeah,
we know Marvel stuff, right?
Could we put that under the fuck Ant-Man? As like, yeah. Pseudo,
yeah,
like,
sure.
Fuck Ant-Man for also being Ant-Man, Yellow Jacket, Giant Man.
Would that be like, fuck Ant-Man, parentheses,
you,
Hank Pym?
Yeah, but they're talking about, it's like, oh my God, Hank, we died. See, you did what I did and dropped the freaking pool table.
This is why we can't have
this
toys.
Is the most we've ever used the pool table since we've moved in here.
No.
Aside from D&D.
We use it for D&D because we're super cool guys.
But, like, Ant-Man and Wasp are talking. It's like, oh my God, Hank, we died. We're not supposed to be here. I'm like, holy shit, they remember the events of Ultimatum. Huh. That's really trippy. What are they going to do with this Ultimate Universe? And, you know, Tony Stark's the only one that has, like, the sensible mind. And, you know, Steve Rogers is being super bigoted like he is in the Ultimate Universe. It's a whole thing. But
does that just play into the theory that Steve-O's the Ultimate Universe?
No,
Steve?
There's three separate Steve Rogers fucking running around.
Well,
right
I
now.
Guess I need to read it to actually figure out what the fuck is going on.
Because
I was just under the impression, like, eh, it's Ultimate Steve. But now you're like, nope, there's three of them. Fuck.
But the ultimate one is now in a spaceship.
Granted, we still have three jokers that we haven't had answered, so.
Eventually.
Yeah, we can hope it gets answered, but if we haven't touched it since.
The answer to the Joker. There's a fourth one.
Well, we also got the whole the Watchmen thing that's going on right now.
Yeah.
So slowly that'll be answered.
Who watches them? That's my question.
Yeah. Speaking of things that is going to be watched, Inhumans
is
probably not going to be watched.
I was actually talking to my dad about this earlier before I came back. He's like, hey, you going to watch Inhumans? I'm like, probably not till it's done, and I'll just watch the whole season as background noise. It's like, really? You're going to skip it? Like, it already got quasi-canceled, Dad.
So IO9 actually made this report straight from their website. It says, while the orientation and layout of this ad may be new, it should be noted that it's just a differently organized version of promotional art that ABC has been using as far back as June that also calls the show the complete series. An earlier teaser poster merely describes it a Marvel television series, but the change doesn't necessarily mean that ABC or Marvel have already axed Inhumans. The wording seems more likely to be related to the show premiering in theaters with a complete run of the series happening in TV.
That doesn't help the fact that when it first showed up in IMAX, it got a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
And stayed that way
for
3 weeks until it went up to a 3%.
Also, IMAX almost passed on Stephen King's It in favor of Inhumans.
That was a mistake.
But they didn't
pass
on it. In Stephen King's It, Chapter 1, The Losers Club,
now
has
theaters.
Grossed $458 million.
It is officially the biggest horror movie ever, just past The Exorcist.
And I mean,
granted, that's not butts in seats, and you have to adjust for inflation. Because if it,
but still,
I remember looking at this list, going over it with someone else, of movies, if you adjusted in for inflation, where they would be on the list.
Yeah, isn't Casablanca still technically the most expensive?
No,
movie?
Give me that pole ball.
Gone with the Wind is number 3 on the most grossing, adjusted for inflation. Followed, or Titanic and Avatar are still above it.
But I mean, rated R horror movies.
Rated R horror movies never usually do good at all.
Yeah,
especially not this good.
And I was reading an article from
made
the
with $35 million
director. They're siblings, and they're talking about why it succeeded while Dark Tower didn't. It was more along the lines of having like these more relatable characters, and it's a more grounded story than Dark Tower was.
Which Dark Tower was not bad. I never actually talked about it.
You did.
Did
you've read the books too, haven't you?
No, we talked about it on the podcast. I could have sworn we did.
I don't think we talked about the movie itself when we were talking about it.
Okay.
But I don't think I ever talked about actually going to see it.
Okay.
Which it was actually a good movie. I wouldn't put it above it. It's a good...
You want to put it above what? Ha-ha, there's always one joke.
I wouldn't put it above Stephen King's It Part 1, The Losers Club, now in theaters.
God damn it. Do we have to keep saying it like
that? Apparently we're not the only ones that do this.
Really?
Because someone else I was listening to on the Rooster Teeth podcast, it was Blaine. He and his girlfriend call it Stephen King's It based on the novel film or something. Like, they keep trying to get more and more ridiculous,
but
like we did.
To put Dark Tower into context, Steve, you've read the books, right? Because I've heard that...
I've read a couple of the books.
Okay, because that's what I've heard, like, is the biggest complaint, is that if you haven't read the books, you don't really know what's going on.
Because
it takes place after the novels, right?
Vaguely.
It seems like that was their original intention, but when you watch the movie, it seems like they just crammed all 9 books into one movie.
In an hour and a half. It's a short-ass movie.
Shout out to you. All those other movies that crammed 3 books into one movie.
But it wasn't bad. It was a good standalone movie. I'm glad I went to see it as a matinee. I don't think I would have paid full price to go see it. It's a movie night movie. Where when you're looking for something to watch, it's a good thing.
It's good for our, like, banter.
It's entertaining, yes. Like, Matthew McConaughey did a fantastic job. Idris Elba, fantastic job. But they couldn't save the movie entirely.
Yeah. And, I mean, not to detract from Inhumans totally, but it just seems like this push that Marvel is trying to do to get Inhumans to be more of a brand name, recognized.
It just seems so forced.
I think they more looked at it as the Inhuman season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did really well for our ratings.
Let's just do that.
Maybe instead of a movie, since this movie's in limbo right now, we can give it to the television team. They can make a show out of it.
Well, I feel like the only reason the movie was in limbo is because they started production on the TV series. And it's not so much that the Inhumans season did really well, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did really well versus the Inhumans as a whole.
The Inhumans movie has been in limbo for so long. Like, at one point, it's like, yeah, it's coming out 2017. What's that? We're going to make a couple movies, push it back to 2018. What's that? We're going to squeeze a few more movies in there, 2019. What's that? A few more, 2020. So they kept pushing it back, and then to the point where I'm sure someone at Marvel's like, fuck it, we're going to use the property television series.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they didn't use any of the Inhuman characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
No.
No.
They pretty much made their own Inhumans.
I mean, that's what I appreciate the most about CW as a series, is that they, like, create backdoor pilots. Like, seeing Barry Allen in season 2 of Arrow was like, oh, shit, are they going to do Flash? And then a year later, Flash comes out.
Well, not even a year later. Like, they...
I think it was like very shortly after. It's like, oh yeah, that we're
well. They set it up in that episode of Air, like the two-parter, where you know Barry's there helping them try and track down Cyrus Gold, and then after they
see me get hit by lightning,
yeah. After they figure out the mystery, then it's the opening scene from Flash where he's in his lab,
right?
And the lightning strikes down, so it's like you're wondering for that first. I was like, are they going to make a Flash show? And the next was like, oh shit, the Flash being made in the show, are they gonna do a show?
And it's the same vein, like right now CW is also reporting that there may be a backdoor pilot for Sabrina the Teenage Witch or the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina in the second season of Riverdale.
I can see it as a quick little nod of like Sabrina's in town. And
well, like in the most recent Jughead comic, I think after Mark Waid took over when Chip Zdarsky left, that Jughead and Sabrina are in like a mild relationship together, but having like some sort of mysticism might even explain like why Riverdale is this really weird amalgamation of 50s and modern technology. Like everyone's driving these old school beater cars, and then they all have touchscreen phones, you know, and everything's Cuba. Neon.
Pops is one of the only restaurants in town.
Pops is the only restaurant in town.
No, it was confirmed that there are other restaurants. Because they talk about like getting Chinese takeout or
at Pops.
No, they pulled out like a Chinese takeout menu. And then they decided to go to Pops. It's like the illusion of choice. Like, yes, we have other menus, but Pops is all. Pops is everything.
Your life is now owned by Pops.
And you know, going back to Inhumans a little bit, I'm not wishing them any wrong. I hope they try to succeed as best they can.
It just doesn't look good.
It really doesn't for them when, after 3 weeks, their rating goes up to a 3%. And again, to me, critics have been wrong about superhero stuff.
Everyone's still shit. Superman's still a good movie.
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad and Batman v Supes are like 30s to 60s. This is 3.
That's my Greg Miller posters. Suicide Squad is actually a good movie.
He didn't like that one.
It's just okay.
It was a good movie.
It was just okay.
It was pretty all right.
It was what a Suicide Squad movie should have been. What was everyone expecting?
Less characters.
It's supposed to be absolute chaos with a bunch of fucked up people. What did we get? Absolute chaos with a bunch of fucked up people.
Take the Joker out of it. I think it's okay.
Make the Joker the villain, and I think it's good.
Give the Joker more characterization.
Take Enchantress out.
I'm here. I'm a... Like
I was a little Skeletor.
I'm here. Nah. It's like, I'm here. I'm a mobster. What's that? They took Harley? Let's go.
Wait, do I actually care about her?
I'm going to growl menacingly at the camera.
But hey, El Diablo, breakout character of that movie that hasn't appeared in comics ever since.
No, he didn't.
No, he...
He's in the current Suicide Squad.
Did you read Nightwing yet?
Oh, is he in it?
He is in it. Yeah. Very briefly, but he is there.
He appeared.
Okay. I don't think he appeared in Justice League versus Suicide Squad. I don't remember.
No, he didn't.
It was probably after.
Well, and that was because Killer Croc wasn't in that either. It was the KG Beast, King Shark.
Yeah, King Shark. And then they also had Killer Frost.
Is he a mutated shark or a mutated man?
Or maybe a man did a fusion dance with a shark. They're probably the same power level.
Who knows?
That was my favorite part of like that Flash episode when Dig came to Central City. And it's like, really? A mutated shark? Do you think that's his quirk? Well, Nomu?
If the principal is just a dog with a quirk or a mouse or whatever he is, no one knows.
I always assume Mongoose.
I was going to say maybe Dingo, because it's dog-like.
It kind of looks like a badger.
Mm. Does he give a shit?
Oh, shit, the dubbed episode
of doesn't seem like he does.
Momo Rising came out today.
Okay, I guess we're watching that after. I remember how we were all geared for me to play Destiny, like, all weekend.
Then you worked for another 8 hours today.
Okay. I was geared for you playing Destiny all weekend.
Yeah.
I kept trying to get you to do it.
I was playing.
And you were, and I was proud of you.
I hit triple digits in power.
Like, when you sent me the picture of, like, man, grading is hard, and it's the loading screen of Destiny, and I poke my head and, like, proud of you.
Then I played 2 Crucible matches, the story mission.
Yeah,
I 2 more Crucible matches, and then I'm like, all right,
went into
that's
my
room, Destiny
came
fill.
Back out, and you were looking at pictures of Wonder Woman,
yeah.
Probably for your drawing.
Yep.
The Sedgwick Wonder Woman.
No, I was just looking at Wonder Woman pictures. I was trying to figure out something I wanted to do.
You turned to me, was like, I played a story match, or a story mode mission,
yeah.
And that was it.
I got my Gunslinger.
Woo. The Gunslinger.
That was actually... let me say how much I honestly appreciate the fact that Destiny has a story that's not embedded in Grimoire cards anymore.
I wish the Grimoire cards
were kind of still there.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a little backstory.
Additional things.
Yeah, like
they're not.
There's still a story beyond
like
that.
You complete a mission, be like, wow, we did it. Thank God we did that. Why was it so important that we did that? Read this Grimoire card if you want to know.
I'm not a fan of the silent protagonist. Like, there's many awkward scenes where it's like they're just staring. It's like, fuck.
But Nolan
your character would say something here. Like, a reasonable thing would happen.
Well, my headcanon is he lost his vocal cords because he's a robot.
Well, my blue lady.
But I'm the sole protector. I'm the only guardian with light, Zach, according to the game.
What about my human titan?
I'm the only guardian with light. That explains everything. That's what the campaign tells me. Ignore the other 6 dudes on the farm at the same time.
I love to think about that, of like, you're the only guardian. You go to the shard, get your light back, and leave. It's like another guardian flies in right next to you, like right behind you. Like, you're the only guardian with your light. You're the only guardian with your light.
Shadow shot. That's not a real shadow shot. I'm the only guardian with light.
I'm the only one who could do that.
Trademarked.
Fuck your Nova Bomb.
You owe me royalties.
Hacksaws.
But even like the side quest, like I remember playing the original Destiny and it's like, you unlocked your Blade Dancer.
Cool.
That's it. Whereas like Gunslinger, it's like,
yeah,
you found an ancient relic inside of this chest.
They did that better in The Taken King, where it's like you actually have to do a mission. But even then, it's like you go here. If you're the warlock, go stand on this lightning rod. Now you have the power of lightning. Not, all right, we have this artifact that you charged up. If we run the light of the shard through it, you get your power back.
Well, I mean, it is pretty neat that they give you a little bit of lore as you walk through that.
But
God, Cade's something beyond a person who gives me loot now.
When you did the Sunbreaker, you saw Praise the Sun, right?
Yes.
Okay. As soon as, like, when you get your hammer charged up and you go do your Hammer of Soul quest, the... like constellation person that when you first walk through is doing the Praise the Sun, because it's the Hammer of Soul.
Praise. Speaking of soulful things,
James
Sega
Brown.
Oh God,
we gotta has go fast. Created a series of guidelines for Sonic. Beep, beep, the assumption beep, would be beep, that promoting Sonic beep, with Hooters beep, falls under them. Today at the Tokyo Game Show, Sega announced that it will be collaborating for a Sonic Forces promotion. Starting this October, there will be Sonic Forces promotional tie-up at Hooters restaurants in Tokyo.
So do I got to go fast at Hooters to get unlockables in Sonic Forces?
Only in Tokyo.
Damn it, Japan.
What do you think the customization options for your furry are going to be, thanks to Hooters?
Tits.
Like, can you be an owl? And, like, you're wearing...
Either that or
you're the owl with, like, 2 very large breasts running around.
Either that or you're going to get a very tight... tank top that says Hooters across it and short shorts. That would fit so, that would be so fitting for people's OCs. They're like, I'm gonna make my OC in Sonic Forces.
But no one else
what's
wears
that?
Clothes aside
can,
from the girl characters.
I can put them in booty shorts.
Okay.
Yes.
Did I show I sent you guys the picture of me in the unicorn mask, right?
Yes.
Apparently there's a jaw part where you can hook the bottom of your jaw so you can have your mouth move on the outside. And I'm like, man, this is once I said this out loud at the store. I said, this is one step away from being a real furry. And then this guy looked at me. I'm like, sorry, sir.
You don't know what I'm talking about, but don't worry about
it. And he's
it.
Like, Please take that off. It's making me uncomfortable after you said that. But there's also this really fucking cool beast mask that's also in the target aisle where the furry heads are. And it's the same thing. Like, it hooks to your chin and you can move your mouth with it. But I'm like, I should buy this because Kayla and I really want to do a Beauty and the Beast cosplay.
There's
$50. No, never mind.
There's a better one out there. Actually, the NSP concert I went to last night, the band that opened for them, Tupperware Remix Party, they all have a gimmick, and one of them is, I think it's Captain Meowser. He's a man that has a cat face on, but it doesn't have, like, the bottom. It just kind of lines up perfectly to where it looks like your bottom of your mouth is part of the cat's mouth. I could work for a Beast cosplay.
That's fair. I was actually just going to paint myself blue and wear a lawyer costume, so Kayla's dreams of Beauty and the Beast are going to be dashed a bit. Zach's trying to figure out the reference. X-Men. Beast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. No, you already told me.
She already
gave you approval of this.
But we do have to do an actual Beauty and the Beast cosplay later, so. But man, boy howdy, do I want to be Beast, lawyer extraordinaire, probably banging Medusa right now? I'm not sure.
No, I think they broke up.
Okay. Because Johnny was dating Medusa.
No, Johnny was dating
Sunspot.
Yes.
That's her name?
Or that he wanted to have a thing with them.
The one that looked like Kitty Pryde a little too much?
Yeah.
Marvel. Also, did you see the DC TV crossover event for this year?
Yeah, Planet X.
Do you know what the best part about this entire thing is?
It's leading up into the... Are you talking about like real life events where Planet X was supposed to crash into Earth yesterday? Or are you talking about how it's leading into the animated show?
Oh, was that the Doomsday Prophecy?
Yes. Planet X, a.k.a. Nibiru.
Oh, that thing again.
Was supposed to crash... Not crash into Earth, but it was supposed to pass close enough that it was supposed to start cataclysmic events such as volcanoes, tsunamis, and earthquakes. But apparently, everyone kept thinking that they were saying that Saturday was the end of the world. But no, apparently there were events that were going to start on Saturday that triggered the end of the world. Can't say if they happened or not.
I feel like we're in the geostorm. Anyway. God. That movie, I'm just like, good lord. It's just like...
It's 2012 number two.
Turned it to 12 and there's no going back.
It's Commander Meowch.
Okay.
Along with Dr. Sung, Lord Phobos, and Half Hogan.
Okay. But the best part is that DCCW has finally gone like, fuck it, why not? And they're actually doing like a crisis event. But the best part, live action, for the first time ever, the Rey.
Actually, yeah.
The first ever live action Rey appearance. Holy shit. But they're using the backstory of the first Rey, but they're using the costume and power set of the second Rey. So it really doesn't matter. But because it's the fucking Rey. Dude, I love the Rey. He's one of my favorite heroes. I mean, that's one of the big reasons why I picked up JLA in the first place, other than it's written by Steve Orlando. Like, all of those characters from Earth X, like the Rey, Black Condor, Uncle Sam. B-list. Yeah. Let's talk about how the fact that Uncle Sam was hanging out with the Society's secret villains in Metal issue 2. Like, I'm sitting there staring at him like, the fuck? He's probably one of the immortal men.
That's Commander Meowch. See, the mask.
It's not as furry. That's pretty good.
It's not as furry. It has a whole mane on it.
Like, I mean, furry. So the CW just announced that the events will be called Crisis on Earth X, containing the Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow once again. And it is an invasion from Earth X. The premise is that Barry and Iris' long-awaited wedding pulls together all their friends, whether from this Earth or otherwise, only to be gatecrashed by evil versions of Kara, Ollie, and Barry from Earth X.
Oh, no.
Alongside a fourth mysterious masked bow-wielding villain. Check out the truly, truly glorious poster announcing the event by Phil Jimenez and start freaking out immediately.
The poster is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's a cool throwback.
Yeah, to the... can't remember which Crisis it was.
I think it's the original like Crisis on Infinite Earths.
No, that's the cover of Superman holding Supergirl.
Oh. So which one are they kind of playing on then, if any?
All of them.
Well, my coworker showed me the exact cover. I can't remember which one it was, though, but it is an exact homage to that cover.
But the Ray.
I wonder who the other bow wielder is. Is it going to be Merlin? Is it going to be Prometheus? Is it going to be
Roy?
Connor? Is it Tommy?
Tommy Merlin. This is how they bring him into the Arrowverse.
They bring him back.
Bring it back. Give me my Tommy, even if he's a villain.
So yeah, looking at the cast, it's like, oh, you got the Flash, Firestorm, Heatwave, the Atom, Zari.
Snart in there at all.
Killer Frost, Vibe, White Canary, Mr. Terrific, Vixen, The Ray, Supergirl, Black Canary, Green Arrow, and Wild Dog. And if you look close enough on the poster, right behind Barry, is Captain Cold.
Is he?
Yeah, check it out. He has the glasses. That does not count as punching the mic.
No, but there's so
the table.
There's so many ways you could have handed him your phone, and it was directly into the table.
Should I drop the pool ball on the table next?
I will kill you.
Fuck, that is Snart.
Yeah. So
hashtag bring back Snart.
There's a whole list of suspicions and everything else, and it's like, oh shit! Finally, someone in this world is going to be happy. Also, spoilers: Barry and Iris are going to get married after Flash Born or whatever the season premiere is.
I mean, straight up, they're like, look, Barry's back, and he's got a bird.
And he's got a beard.
He also, why do I get the feeling that it's going to be one of those like, whoa, Barry's not really himself anymore.
I'm going to go the amnesia angle.
Yeah.
I mean,
otherwise he would have gone right to Joe's house or their apartment or Star Labs.
Well, no, they shot him out of the Speed Force.
Right, but at the same time, they're like, why wouldn't he go to one of those plays instead of showing up in the police interrogation room.
Do we get an eighth
room?
Barry?
Oh, God.
His mother's death? The only thing that Seventh he can
Barry.
Remember?
We've only Barry, got
driving force this
do you
entire
learn
time.
Nothing?
We've only got six Barrys at the house. Five Barrys. We only had five Barrys at the house.
Five present day future Barrys plus child Barry.
Yes. So we could have a seventh Barry.
Too many flashes.
You're trying to figure out too many cooks.
Too many berries.
Have you seen Too Many Cooks?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay. I remember I showed that to Zach. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I'm not sure why.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember where
Somebody at work made the reference of, like, Too Many Cooks in the kitchen. I just said, Too Many Cooks. Nobody understands that reference.
I always kind of say it under my breath when someone's like, there's just too many things here. Like,
Too many cooks.
So I believe that was, like, a 10-minute like Adult Swim thing.
It was supposed it was a commercial that came on at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So if you were awake that late,
you were probably
stoned out of your mind, and you're probably watching like, the fuck is happening?
Holy shit! It's just the best thing ever. Also, props to DC CW for finally bringing the first ever gay superhero on screen.
Terrific.
Yeah, they got the.
Well,
what was the award they?
Canon won. The Ray has always been gay.
What was the award that DC got this week
for
diversity?
Representation in the LGBTQ plus community.
Well,
I can't remember what it was called.
They do such a fantastic job of incorporating someone from the LGBT community and not making it that character's defining trait. Like the Killing Joke, where they gave Barbara a gay best friend and made that his defining trait, that he was the stereotypical gay best friend.
But at the same time, you have Supergirl, you have Maggie Sawyer now, who's been part of the show, and then there was also Kara's sister, who had deal with coming to terms that she had the hots for Maggie.
Even White Canary.
Yeah.
Like, she was from episode one, and they fully introduced her back into the universe outside of
with
just
a different actress.
Was it not always
Nope.
I've got to go back.
Hold on. What? What was this?
In the original Arrow, like episode one, they're showing the ship crash and some of the flashbacks, it was just a random brown haired chick.
Huh.
And then they replaced her when they decided they were going to bring Sarah Lance as main character again.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Who would have
Speaking
thunk?
Of crazy, while Steve's looking this up, the first DC Metal one-shot came out.
The Red Death.
Super shout-out to DC for giving you a free button
with
every issue.
I'm like, all right, I'm going to like find a way
to
put
I need
to
find something
together.
To flare this out on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have an Aquaman button sitting on the TV stand next to all the Fallen Down
I think
Final
I have
Fantasy
a,
characters.
No, I don't have a Champion button anymore. I had one that John gave me when I can't remember. I think it was after he came back from a con. He just had a bunch of shit. It was like champion stuff. It's like a Scotty Young print, some foldable characters that stood up, and then a button.
Oh, I had some of those. That was part of the champion's promo material.
Yeah, Red Death.
Shit, dude. Like,
that got fucking heavy fast.
Did you guys notice the super cool Easter egg?
Which one?
So when he's in the tank, there's like this really weird writing off to the side where he's like, yeah, my toys are better. And it says Carmine after Miller.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, Dark Knight reference. Because that's when Miller
took
over for
Batman. How the fuck do you notice those things?
Because I read do you see how slow I read some comics? Like, some I'll blow through, some I'll just sit there and read.
But to find that little text.
It's not little. It's pretty big. But at the same time, so we know the Dark Universe is underneath the Grant Morrison multiverse map, which is part of the ordinary worlds for the local multiverses. You know, for Grant Morrison explaining everything, they brought back Hyper Time and the Ordinary to show that, yes, in this singular instance, there is a limited number of 52 universes, but all these universes do exist thanks to Hyper Time and Booster Gold and / Wave Rider and everything else that happened during Multiversity and Convergence. So underneath all of that shit are the failed universes that are doomed to die. Mm-hmm. The big speculation, actually, is that the Red Death universe is a hypothetical what-if situation of Frank Miller's Batman.
Hmm.
Because if you look at his toys and the way this Batman acts, he has the Miller Batman.
He even
tank.
Has like the Miller jaw. It's like the super square jaw. Which could have been just an artist thing, but it seems like it was intentional.
So Katie Lotz is not always an Arrow. When they filmed the pilot, it was a different actress. Apparently when the time came to have Sarah appear more, the actress couldn't commit, so they replaced her and refilmed that flashback.
The more you know.
Ba-da-da-da. But, so if this world is like, you know, and it's so cool if it is like a failed alternate universe that's just collapsing within and on itself, it's really cool to see that this Bruce Wayne is like, he's kind of corrupted by everything else. You know, even when he travels to the current universe, it's like, Bruce, I could always count on your compassion. He's like, fuck that shit. And
I'm here to destroy his own city.
Yeah, and we even talked about it when we read Metal One that each of the Batman Dark Knights had like their own distinct thing. And then we saw the Flash one that had like the scattered speech bubbles. Mm-hmm. And now we know why.
Yeah. Like when he literally fused Barry within himself.
When the two brains were fighting each other, the word bubbles were separate. Like when Bruce is speaking, doesn't have the red behind it. And then when Barry's speaking, it's just a red bubble. But then when the two minds are combined, like thinking in one thought, it's layered, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
That it shows like there's still that second brain in there that doesn't always have control.
Yeah, and I really just enjoyed how much freaking Williamson and Carmine
Common Cooley.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, Common Cooley is someone else. It's like G something last name. But like how their colors like popped so hard thanks to Palencia. And like this issue just looked freaking pretty and spectacular. And then the Red Death like bat armor from the Speed Force looks super intense.
Well,
Carmine Di Giandomenzio. Freaking Italians.
Like, I know Murder Machine is next.
Yep.
Because Tom King has been teasing that.
Well, too. It even says at the end, next up, Murder Machine.
So that one, I can easily see how that one can come about as Batman gets the Mother Box instead. But I'm curious, like, about the Doomsday one or the Aquaman one.
Because
that is a woman, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm wondering if it's Batwoman fusing with Aquaman, or if it's Batman fusing with Mera.
It could be that, because there's that one universe where everybody's gender swapped. Could be that, like a failed version of that.
That'd be cool. Also, did you guys notice So like the main driving villain other than Barbados is
the Batman who laughs.
And if you notice, that ending monologue is straight up from The Killing Joke.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's the bad day.
Yeah, the one bad day.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just looking at it. I kind of
caught that, because I was like, wait, they're doing a one bad day monologue.
Yeah.
Huh.
If one bad day can ruin an entire world, imagine what one bad week can do.
To a whole universe. Or to a whole multiverse.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, there's so many cool, neat little Easter eggs. And ever since Snyder said, like, yeah, if you read my entire run, there's been hints for this event scattered throughout it. And it's like, oh, yeah, the Court of Owls. Oh, yeah, you know, super heavy. Someone found one from Zero Year. And it's when Crazy Quilt is talking to Batman. It's like, you know, I never thought you were a man just dressed up like a bat. I thought you were a Barbados. And I'm like, oh, neat. Mm. Finger pointing.
Spilled it right out for us.
Yeah. So it's really cool. And I don't think I've ever been this pumped or excited for an event. Maybe since even Darkseid War, I wasn't as excited, because Darkseid War was pretty straightforward. Like, the Justice League All Becoming Gods was like super fucking cool. But this, where the driving force is Batman and corrupt versions of Batman, it seems so much cooler.
The Batman Who Laughs one shot is going to be the most interesting to, like, all right, what is Dark this
fucked up?
What is this monstrosity? Is it a Joker that like goes insane, or is it somehow a Batman that gets infused with the Joker?
My more thing is, what the fuck did he do to the Robins?
That too.
Like, did he just essentially do the Batman thing of, oh, look, an orphan on the street, you're mine now, but,
whoa,
Jokered.
If you read Teen Titans, or not Teen Titans, Nightwing, clearly the Robins can, like, it's like an infection of some sort.
Right, but I'm just more wondering of, like, did he just have the same thought process as normal Bruce and just picked up orphans who he then infected?
Who knows?
Is it just he just grabbed random kids and you're like, you're mine now? Did he...
Well, he does refer to them by their names as Dick, Tim, Jason. I think he did. No, he didn't.
No.
But someone asked them, Snyder, if these are like distinct different kids. And he said, you have to wait. Because if you think about it, like, these are Batman's worst nightmares of himself. And I thought it was like, oh.
All of his children were poisoned.
Yeah. That would be
a nightmare too.
I thought this would be like along the lines of like, oh, these are just like Batman's what ifs, like if he had the Speed Force. No, this is the Dark Universe really pulling from that reality.
So, like, what if Batman went to this extreme to save the world, or what if Batman went to this extreme?
Yeah, and in the preview pages for the Green Lantern one, I can't remember which one, Dawnbreaker, Ethan Van Shriver's been sharing pictures, but it shows Bruce Wayne in front of the Green Lantern battery. So it takes all these really cool what ifs that we know.
It's like oh yeah, Batman with the Green Lantern, like, it'd be one of the most unstoppable things in the universe. But what happens if it's all he's corrupted already, and then he gets these abilities?
That does make me curious of, like, the Dawnbreaker Batman. He's not like jacked like a normal Batman is. He doesn't have like the tone that even, like, the...
he looks sickly.
Red Death, yeah. He looks like he's a sickly man, like, just skin and bones underneath that outfit. Like, does the corrupted Green Lantern ring do that to him? Or
the fact that he never actually became Batman in his universe and only had the Green Lantern ring. Dun, dun, dun.
Or maybe he's, like, dying of something and he learns that the Green Lantern ring can keep him alive.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Read to find out. But yeah, holy shit, Metal is great. I'm going to hate towards the end of it, where it's going to be the
culmination and the
monthly rapping. Because it's like, it's just monthly. There's no more tie-ins during the last like three issues. So it's like, you just have to wait. Like, these tie-ins for like Gotham Resistance are super cool. They've been killing it. And I'm like, man, this is so great. I can't wait for more.
But then when it's all over, it just comes down to the metal.
But we also have Doomsday Clock running at the same time, yeah, so that's like, Lord. All right, Metal's done. Doomsday?
Is Doomsday...
Mr. Miracle?
It starts in November.
Okay.
Doomsday Clock runs for 12 issues, and so does
Miracle. Right, I didn't know.
No, Metal's actually... only 6.
Metal's 9.
No, it's 6.
Or 7.
It's 6.
That was 6.
You're 6.
The actual Metal storyline is 6.
Quick, everyone Google who gets there first. I'm on Bing.
Metal.
Hang on, I'm on Bing. Hang on, I found it.
I got DC Metal.
DC Knights Dark. DC Knights Metal.
Hang on, it's buffering. It's 6. Yeah, it's 6.
Told you.
Can confirm it's 6.
What did I say?
I don't listen to you.
I was agreeing with you.
I don't agree with
that. That was
anyone.
Mostly for him.
I'm wearing a hood. I can't hear. But at the same time, this December, we also get some of those Dark Matter titles. So it makes me wonder if the Dark Matter people are people who leaked over from the Dark Universe now.
Probably. I'm sure they'll like explain it somehow, or maybe they're like they'll be the ones who Batman brings back to save everything.
Especially since technically, it is like 8 with the Forge and the casting. Technicalities! But when you read the Forge and the casting, he's talking to Mr. Terrific, and it's like, hey, look, you've been traveling to that other universe. What did you find? I always assumed he meant Earth 2, because that's where Mr. Terrific was during, like, Future's End and the Earth 2 Society, whatever that comic was.
You think he's traveling around the dark multiverse?
Yeah. So it makes it seems
But
really
why would he risk that? Because he knows he's the doorway for Barbados.
Well, no, Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific was trying to travel around.
Okay.
If he's the doorway, then who's the weapon?
Dick.
Dick's always a weapon.
If you ask him.
Grayson.
Nicely. Yeah, can't wait. All right, so the final thing to wrap up the show tonight, talk about Kingsman.
Yes, yeah, so we'll do our quick little non-spoilery, and then we'll distinctly call this is spoiler territory.
I can't believe they killed off that character yet again.
No.
They didn't do that. Kingsman 2 was pretty hype. Like, it really surprised me, though, that Mark Miller is finally letting other people write the Millerverse world. Like, Rob Williams is writing the second Kingsman series right now.
Yeah, the Red Diamond.
And it's, like, straight British. It's, like, it's him saving the Queen in the first few.
Nice. Are there any Corys involved?
You gotta save the Queen, bro.
But it's like, I'm so glad, and that's one of the things, I'm so glad that even though Eggsy's moved on to be this dapper
gentleman, he still goes...
He's still a chav.
Yeah, he still goes full chav.
It's like, come on, bro. He's wearing his stupid hat.
Yeah, he's got the hat, the shiny jacket.
The tracksuit.
Yeah, he's still just, I ain't drink that, bro.
Like, it was really cool to see, like, him being more well-established, and then Matthew Vaughn just kills it with, like, his sound design and just having the right music.
I felt like the action wasn't as the jumpiness of the first one and, like, the kick-ass style. It was more, like, it's more cinematic.
The diner fight was a lot more, like, not the saloon,
that was like a one shot.
Yeah, that was fight. More that was of more... like the church scene.
Yes.
But it seemed like they tried to amp up every fight scene to be mildly like the church scene.
Well, and there were a couple times where like I was getting a little nauseous from some of the camera whips of like they just moved it way too fast for that moment. I'm like, hold on, establish yourself. Give me an establishing shot.
So I liked it, but I thought Kingsman 1 was a lot more fun. Like, this one was a lot more serious in tone, and, like, there was a lot more emotional scenes than Kingsman 1. Like, Kingsman 1 was like, yeah, it's a fun, like, it's a spy movie, but it's blown out of proportion.
I can appreciate what they did with 2, because 1 was just straight up, we're playing on the spy tropes. We're going to play on every trope from James Bond.
But that's what I liked about it.
All of that, but this one, they're like, we could do that again, but we're not going to try and... copycat our own movie. We're gonna keep some of the tropes, but we're going to make it a more established movie.
And that's what Matthew Vaughn said he wanted. He didn't want to make just another movie like that. He wanted to evolve the characters, evolve the plot. Like, it was still like a really nice kind of high octane.
There were
movie.
Still good action scenes.
Yeah, and there were still quite a few like James Bond references throughout.
It makes you really got to watch the first one though, because there's a lot of plot points and even references that it's like if you hadn't seen the first one, you have no idea what that was. Like, even the joke about, like, hey, you're going to go save the world. You know what that means.
Did you realize that when he, you know, answers the password to her cell, the numbers, if you do, like, T9 text, spell anal?
Oh, my God.
I don't know if anyone else noticed that when we were watching it together, like, a couple, like, last month. But it spelled anal for anyone that was wondering.
Oh, my God. Oh, like, at the end of the movie. Oh
yeah, gosh. Where he's like, Merlin, what's the code?
Oh, man.
But one of the things that bothered me was, like, holy shit, look at this huge cast that are mainly cameos.
Yep.
Channing Tatum's your new main character. No, okay.
Oh, he's in there for approximately 5 minutes.
Here's that guy you kind of remember from Game of Thrones, though.
Yeah, they
Pedro Pascal was fine.
They built up Channing Tatum more than they built him up. If they built him as...
Channing Tatum was in every single one of the goddamn trailers.
A higher build... I didn't even know Oberon was in it until Zach pointed it out. Of like, yeah, Oberon's doing that lasso thing. I'm like, wait, what?
Pedro Pascal is also in Narcos, so I already knew who he was.
I knew who he was from the Viper, but I just didn't recognize him in the trailers because they don't give him really much face time in the trailers. I think he has, in all of the trailers, they give him like one scene of talking.
Yeah.
That because of the southern accent, like they gave him a southern drawl, I didn't recognize him at the very beginning. Otherwise, with Channing Tatum, it's like all right, trailer. Eggsy, Merlin, Channing Tatum, Eggsy, Channing Tatum.
Jeff Bridges.
And Colin Firth.
I'd say Channing Tatum got more screen time, or not screen time, more preview time than Jeff Bridges. And Jeff Bridges has easily double
the
time.
He has a smile in the trailers. Yeah.
He has double the time on screen that Channing Tatum does.
Yeah.
Easily.
But Halle Berry was in the movie more than any of them combined.
And Halle Berry didn't even get a talking line
in the
trailer.
She literally just appeared in the trailer.
Yeah. It's when they're talking about smarts that flash to Halle Berry for half a second, and then that's it. And she had more goddamn screen time than Channing Tatum.
Well, it's like everyone was wondering. It's like, man, Halle Berry and Merlin's characters are going to be like the new romantic arc for this movie because they're both the people in the chairs.
Nope.
There's kind of hints, but not really. And then there's also like the whole thing, like, you know, it's like, oh, these characters are all in the trailers. This character is on the promo art. Like, not to get into spoilers, but, like, they had an entire poster dedicated to Roxy's character, Sophie Cookson, who plays Roxy in the movie, and Channing Tatum's character, and their roles are so minimal compared to, like, everyone else. Like,
yeah, to Jeff Bridges or Halle Berry.
Like, how do you just say it that way?
Jeff Bridges deserves as much of that as he gets.
Yeah, and, you know, at the same time, I was talking to someone about this. It's like, you know, as much as Kingsman is Eggsy's movie, it's more of Eggsy and Harry Hart. Like, the two Galahads together, it's their movie together. It wouldn't be right just to do Eggsy by himself.
Well, and they gave Merlin a decent amount of characterization, too.
Mark Strong had such a fantastic part.
I love Merlin. He's always been one of my favorite characters.
He was a true bruv.
The singing really got me.
Oh, John Denver.
Mark Strong, like, I mean, of all the ways for them to play up his singing talent in the movie, it was really cool.
It's like, who's my favorite singer? It's like, I don't know. Denver. It's John Denver.
Like,
yes!
In his Scottish accent.
They just kept building it and building it.
Oh, yeah, like, John Denver music, or just even Country Road is sprinkled all throughout that movie.
Oh, yeah, it's like it's pretty much like the theme of the movie almost.
Like, well, when they first started playing it and it was like this big orchestral piece, and I'm like, what song is this? It sounds so familiar. Oh fuck, it's John Denver.
Gotta tell ya, I did hear Country Road at the bar last night and I was like, shit.
All right, so final thoughts before we dive into spoilers.
Go see it. It was a good movie.
It was a really fun movie.
It's if you like the first one, you'll more than likely enjoy this, but I had personally, I had problems with it.
Have problems with everything now.
I
personal level,
the first one more.
I put it almost on the same peg as the first one.
I feel it's the same thing as Guardians 1 and Guardians 2. Like, the first one was great, and the second one was just good.
Yeah, I would say it's that.
I kind of feel like it was the reversal of, like, Guardians, where Guardians 1, very formulaic. like it stuck to that Marvel formula
mm-hmm.
of like, here's our hero, here's the villain, mid-story, hero wins, Infinity Stone. And then Guardians 2 was like, well, we already got the Infinity Stone out of the way, so fuck it, go crazy.
Let's have fun.
Meanwhile, Kingsman 1 was like, fuck it, go crazy. And then 2 was like, let's get a slight bit more formulaic.
It's also cool. I want to mention just a couple more things. It's cool that they've talked about the movie being a trilogy now because it's been so successful.
I mean, everything's a goddamn trilogy.
And when Matthew Vaughn was writing for the second movie, he was saying that Colin Firth was... return like when their original casting got out that Colin Firth was coming back, Matthew Vaughn said he toyed with the idea of having Harry having an evil twin, very much like Bond trope style, before deciding just to bring Harry Hart back to life. In that when he was doing the movie, he begged Fox not to show Harry at all in the trailers,
which I really hope they would have, like, yeah. Like, even though he was announced that he was cast in the movie again,
it could have been a flashback, because they did the flashbacks.
Yeah, play it off as flashbacks.
Oh my god, the dinner scene where he was talking about using the right fucking forks was incredible. Yeah, like
just have him in flash, like play it off as just in flashbacks, and then have the big reveal.
And so,
do we want to go to spoiler territory now? Or
Vaughn stated that he and Goldman have a third Kingsman film planned in September. 2017 edition of Total Film, Vaughn revealed that his personal choice for the role of the villain in Kingsman 3 is Dwayne Johnson.
I could see it.
I want to see The Rock as a villain.
After Julianne Moore is the villain in this one.
She was so good.
She was so good. I could easily see The Rock playing a villain. And like then, between like Samuel Jackson and Julianne Moore's character, The Rock would so perfectly be able to fit into a character that matches them.
He also mentioned that he's interested in making a Statesman spinoff film, including all the characters.
So we actually get, you know, characterization and screen time with all of them. I never actually
looked up who the other Statesmen were.
The only ones that were, like, there were Pedro Pascal, Halle Berry, Jeff Bridges, and Channing Tatum. All the others were just extras. Another thing that he said, I think there's a story in my head, which will be finished by the end of the next one. And then after that, then, of course, there could be the Statesman movies. There could be a spin-off character films. The universe could continue with new agents, or, you know, Colin could become the new Arthur character, or new characters could come in, or new kids get trained. There's so many options, but I think it's better not to be too greedy.
Kingsman dethroned It with really? A $39 million debut. So It was not the highest grossing movie at the box office this weekend.
Finally.
All right. So we're about to dive into spoilers. Thank you for all for listening. If you don't want your spoilers for Kingsman,
stop listening right now.
Yes.
Because we're going to drop the biggest spoiler ever right now, that Roxy died. Because that was bullshit.
You didn't actually give any like actual physical warning.
No. I wouldn't.
So
dare you if you thought any differently.
That was your fucking cutoff there. Sorry.
You got the three-word cutoff.
I was trying to be nice.
Also, didn't realize that I heard them call him Jack, but I didn't realize that Whiskey's actual name was Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like when they called him Jack, I'm like, I wonder. Now this confirms Whiskey's name was Jack Daniels.
So one of the things that bothered me the most was that they took, like, every likable character from the first movie and killed them.
Yes.
Allegedly killed.
Yeah, they shot Colin Firth in the head, and they brought him back. And there was a scene that was deleted in the film for, like, a what could have been, and it showed in, like, when they were filming it, it showed Mark Strong wearing green screen leggings at Eggsy's wedding.
Oh.
But they cut that out of the film.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, you know, how Game of Thrones this season's going to film multiple endings.
Right.
Or they're going to be like, shit, what show was it that filmed every single character's death? Just in case.
I have no idea.
Okay. But, I mean, if Charlie could survive getting his arm blown off and his vocal cords blown, and survived the second movie. No, he got his neck twisted at the end.
Yeah.
But Roxy could have survived having a building drop
again.
On
yeah, she, well, she, yeah, she. You do not see her actually die on screen. Well, there is a small chance.
You see her bolt out of her bed like she's going for something specific.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have like
I do safety like a capsules in there or something.
Yeah, like if a rocket's about to hit,
it would think right
the headquarters. Hop in here, you'll be safe.
Also, think about the fact that the entirety of Kingsman 2 took place in 48 hours, because from the moments that Eggsy went to Kentucky and he and Tilda had a fight and she was smoking that herb.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Facts.
Fun fact. Old Forester is actually releasing a line of Statesman bourbon.
Nice.
For promotion for Kingsman.
Cool. I'll drink it.
It's probably like $2,000.
Fuck.
Wow. Okay. So the Slant magazine apparently gave Kingsman the Golden Circle 0.5 out of 4 stars.
Why? What's their reasoning? I don't think it was...
Let's see here. Go ahead and talk while I read through
this. So I'll see who's looking at that. One of the things I really appreciate is that they did take Tilda's character and be like, oh, here's this random kind of gross joke of if you save the world butt stuff. To, okay, they're in a full-blown relationship, and the true Golden Circle is engagement.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. It's
like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, like, when I pointed that out to you guys when we were walking in the car, like, uh-huh. So funny. And then, you know, the gang. But, like, Julianne Moore, her character of Poppy.
She was... The problem I had with it is, it's like, yeah, okay, she's a bit off the rails of, like they haven't clearly stated, like, yeah, she has sociopathic tendencies, and all she wants to do is become like this big well-known pharmaceutical leader because she's just upset that she has to be hiding the whole time.
I got you.
It just seems weird. Like, I'm like, okay, so her one motivation for blowing up Kingsman was that Charlie went there. He's like, hey, could you blow up Kingsman for me?
Cool. I got you. This is the best head canon straight from Reddit, right, from user Endor Moon. You know what would have made this movie so much better that also solved a few huge gaping potholes at the same time? Poppy was a failed statesman who got shot in the head and fixed with alpha gel. This could explain her clearly obsessive need to surround herself with 50s nostalgia, since the gel causes memory loss and reversion to early states of life. The beginning voiceover explanation was garbage. Her business acumen would have also been more believable, since statesmen are shown throughout the movie to be financially savvy on a $1 billion scale. Mental patient Harvard grad is just a dumb, lazy backstory and does not lend itself to richest secret drug dealer and advanced robotics maker in the world. It would also explain why statesmen aren't marketing alpha gel as a potentially dangerous side effect, to include turning into a forest-dwelling cannibalistic meth dealer. They clearly like the business portion of the spy setup. They have stock tickers in their meeting room, so not marketing the most advanced medical tech humanity has is really hard to swallow. It might also explain Whiskey's unknown objection to Halle Berry's becoming a statesman. He could view Poppy's issue with alpha gel as an endemic to the gender. That throwaway line that bugged the hell out of me. Why doesn't Whiskey like Halle Berry? And when they are in a scene together, there is no tension. So doesn't seem like a personal thing. Poppy being a failed statesman could also explain her love of drugs while eschewing alcohol, sugar, caffeine, and nicotine. In a deranged mind, more drugs equals less liquor sales equals less money for the statesman.
They really didn't go into why.
Yeah, exactly. That was my biggest problem with her. I was like, okay, what's her actual motivation then?
Well,
like,
no, not Poppy. But, like, they never went into when...
Ginger Ale?
Yeah, Halle Berry was talking. Yeah, that too. She's like, yeah, the only person who voted against me was Whiskey.
Why?
Okay, why?
That seems like a little odd.
Like, I could see...
And why does he have so much overruling authority?
At first, I thought it was just part of his evil plot. But then when he's just like, yeah, no, my wife was killed by two druggies. It's like, I could see, like, I want drugs to go away, so let all the druggies die. That never explained why he didn't want Halle Berry to be a statesman.
Yeah, there was...
Like, they never went into depth about that.
Yeah, it just seemed really weird.
When apparently everyone else was ready to vote her
in. And also, think about it like this. The only person she can connect to on a personal level, other than her robot dogs and Elton John, is Charlie, the failed Kingsman. So, like, this...
That would have made it so much... her character, actually, like...
Maybe that'll come out in the Statesman spinoff if they make that. It's really, like maybe it'll be a flashback. Like a
That's my elbow.
I didn't hear it.
It hurt. But yeah, like I enjoyed Poppy's like 50s nostalgia aspect though. Like that was really cool. Just the diner, the bowling alley, Elton John and all that jazz.
Fucking Elton John.
Like they always had to get away with one really neat celebrity in every movie.
Do you think the running Elton John joke was a little overdone? I felt it was a little too much. It was funny, but I felt like it was like, this is really weird. Like, why isn't he here so much?
Well, I mean, the original comic had, like, the whole first issue dedicated to Mark Hamill being kidnapped and everything.
Yeah, because he wasn't the professor. He was just straight up Mark Hamill.
So it was, like, the small things they could get away with.
But, like, I liked what they played up with Elton John. Like,
I thought it was a funny plot point. Like, the fact that he became
one of the heroes, like, the only reason that Harry came out of that alive was because of Elton John. And then Elton John makes a reference to the whole Tilda scene. He was like, honey, if you save the world, you can have backstage passes. I was like, ha! It's like anal, but with music.
Yeah, it's just like I said, it's really cool how they go full circle with the first movie. Full
golden circle?
Yeah. And like, there's a lot of stuff that I wish would have stayed. Like, there are such small little callbacks, like Eggsy's office, which is Harry's old office.
Yeah, that had like the newspaper. Like, yeah, it had three newspapers on it.
But there were spaces for all.
Yeah, they were just tabloid headlines that if you didn't watch the first movie, you wouldn't know that those were his three big cases so far, or his three big saves of like, this is the day I saved so and so, or this is the day I saved the Queen. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice callback, and then even JB. Like, if you don't see the first movie, you don't understand why JB is so important.
Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer. Oh, Jack Bauer.
And it's really cool that they did show. They
fucking killed him.
Yeah.
But we got JB Jr. and Mr. Pickles, too.
It was really cool that they showed, like, they are replenishing, too. Like, oh, hey, the old Arthur was evil. Well, here's the new Arthur and his court. And then it's like,
and they're gone.
Yep. Like I said, I think the most tragic thing about the entire film is that they killed off Roxy.
Well, and it's not just the fact that they killed her off, is it's in the fashion they killed her off of after she's being the ultimate wingman to Eggsy, where everyone thought like they were going to be the power couple at the end of the movie, but
no idea.
Turns out that she just became the best friend / wingman.
That's the best thing. But like I said, this movie really drives home to me that Kingsman is more of Harry Hart and Eggsy Unwin. More than the celebratory spy agency of Kingsman. It's the two Galahads.
I think that's why I like the first one just more. It fleshed out Kingsman as a whole rather than just focusing on Eggsy's.
I think that was part of the first movie, was they wanted to establish the world. Because I'm assuming that Vaughn already planned for this to be either two movies or a trilogy or a series. So he wanted to spend the first movie more fleshing out the world. And then have the second one be about focused characters.
And to believe, like, I was really nervous coming into the movie. Like, you and I were talking about this when we were walking out of the theater, that, like, oh, man, what if Merlin was the rat? Because there's the whole scene about them in the rain.
Yeah.
Because Merlin was the original villain in the comic. Instead of it being Arthur. So it was kind of like, holy shit. It's really cool.
Really
like,
do it.
Kingsman, to me, really shows why comic book adaptation movies exist. Because they can take the original ideas and spin something new with them while making...
Not following them beat for beat.
Yeah, while making a new original story. Like, Kingsman was so successful that they rebranded the comic. Image was like, or Icon, whoever published it, was like, all right, this comic is no longer Secret Service. It's now Kingsman, the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
And to think this was Mark Miller's pitch for S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, this was going to be what a S.H.I.E.L.D. Really? Comic was.
Huh.
And I'm glad it's not S.H.I.E.L.D. now, because, like, holy shit, this is so cool.
Yeah, the things, he wouldn't have been able to do a lot of things if it was a S.H.I.E.L.D. comic.
Yeah, I'm really glad that he just went indie, then work with the big two anymore, because he creates such cool stuff that exists outside of the major superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Although but I, fucking Roxy, I cannot forgive that.
Yeah,
I can't forgive Merlin.
Yeah, that too.
That scene almost just made me cry.
Are you fucking kidding me? They're gonna kill off Merlin here.
Why do they give him the really big, cool knife? Okay, he just used it.
Yeah,
but why?
I was gonna say, when he grabbed the knife, I was like, "Oh, Merlin's about to fucking kill somebody." Oh no!
But wait, their watches have little hacky computer things, and the little hacky computer things work on computers.
They only work on chips.
Yeah,
but they even said they only work on things that have chips.
But the computer in the base disables mines. They disabled the mines when the lawyer came.
They didn't know that they could disable the mines.
I know.
They just knew they were mines.
He could have just stood there.
Yeah, it seemed a little weird.
That one seemed like a pressure trigger. Because at first I was thinking like, oh, are they just going to leave Merlin there and they're going to go in and storm the place and disable the mines? But then the more I thought, I was like, wait, those aren't computerized landmines. Those are straight dead man switches.
And then again, he brought it full circle. Like,
full golden circle.
Your father did the same for me.
I'm going to do the same for you.
And I'm like oh no. Shit, Merlin was in that scene? I had to go back and watch the first one again.
And then he started singing John Denver.
Mark Strong is awesome. I love him.
Which makes me sad that he's not going to be in the third one now.
Or will he?
I guess, yeah.
He could have his cybernetic legs.
We literally see Colin Firth get shot in the head in the first one, and then they make it a plot point.
Maybe the Russian Kingsman or the Japanese Kingsman saved him.
It's the ongoing joke of, like, or not even the joke, but, like, the trope that every single person in the Kingsman movies are physically able, even though, like, they're like the Overwatch characters. Everyone's crippled in some way.
A majority of them are in some way.
Eggsy's just made emotionally crippled in some areas.
Eggsy has PTSD. Harry's missing an eye. Roxy's going to come back with, like, half a robot for a body. Mark Strong is going to come back as Lucio. It's going to be great.
I was thinking more of
Fox.
The bad guy from Wild Wild West. When he gets out of the wheelchair and he has the spider legs.
Took me a moment. But I mean, like, hey, the Valentine's henchman from the first movie ran around with
blade legs.
And I'm like, oh, she's Blade Runner. Yep. Neat.
Ah. But no, like, when we were walking out, like, I made the joke, but I'm very curious too. Of, like, if they got the idea from Arrow of fucking killing Merlins on landmines after sacrificing themselves for someone else. Because that is the exact way, same way.
Part of the instance, pure coincidence.
Merlin died in season 5 of Fia stepped on a landmine. They got it to pause for half a second, pushed her off, stepped on the landmine himself, blew himself up when bad guys showed up. The exact same way that Kingsman Merlin died. Exact same way.
There's also the fact that, like, I don't know, dude. Never mind. I don't even know where I was going with that. I was thinking about Arrow, how, like, Deathstroke pushed Ollie off a landmine at one point. But it's like, you mean with all the cool technology you have,
They only brought one can of the Freezy Spray? Really?
And you didn't plan this better of, all right, we have, like, a split second.
So
all dive out of the way. We'll be good.
You had a fucking landmine sweeper, but only brought one can of Freezy Freeze Spray.
I love that baseball bat. That was neat. The freaking grenade bat hit.
Yeah.
Well, incredible. No, he hit the baseball with his umbrella.
Right.
I thought it was going to be the baseball bat ball combo, but then it was like, oh, nope, that's his umbrella. And then the suitcase machine gun / rocket launcher. That was one of those things where they were playing up the tropes of the spy movie of just random shit being.
Oh, that was actually a James Bond thing.
Just a baseball was a hand grenade or a bat was a minesweeper.
Yeah.
And then they just have normal weapons too, like a giant fucking knife.
Yeah.
This one's mine.
I wish you just hold up like, now this is a knife.
Australian statesman. Can't wait. Yeah.
Well, Mark Strong is supposed to be Scottish.
Because we have the Kingsmen for
they're named the Brits, after marsupials.
The Dingemen. Or would they be the Outback Men?
Oh, who knows? Goodness. I'm glad that we also got to see Channing Tatum dance.
Yeah.
The 10 seconds of his 2 minute screen time.
You know, like, I think other than Logan Lucky, he has danced in every single freaking movie.
Well, I mean,
both of the 21 Jump Street movies.
He started out as a male stripper.
Yeah.
That's why Magic Mike wasn't such a stretch for him, because like, okay, that's what he was before he was an actor, because he was a male stripper.
But he can act now. It's so great.
Imagine that scene. All right, Channing, this is what we want you to do. I got this. Just let me improv it.
What was the first movie that Channing Tatum was in?
The first one I remember him in is 21.
That was like his big breakout for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was in Magic Mike before that.
No, Magic Mike was after 21 Jump Street.
Uh-huh.
Magic Mike was before 22 Jump Street.
And then Logan Lucky came out of Magic Mike Double XL or whatever it was.
One, yeah.
Yeah, Double XL, and that's where Joe Mantiglione?
Yeah, Deathstroke.
Yeah, that's where he came from, too.
Allegedly.
Double XL.
Oh, at least he'll be shredded.
Yeah. He was... His first ever credited role was in CSI Miami.
Nice.
Just like everyone else.
Bob Davenport. Yeah! Then he was in War of the Worlds as Boy in Church.
Neat.
Then he was in Supercross as Rowdy Sparks.
Oh, shit.
And then he was in Havoc.
Is Supercross the Disney one?
No.
Oh.
All right, I know which one you're talking about, though.
Yeah, where the girl...
Yeah, it was that like string of movies of like, look, the girl's undercover. She's the Man thing.
Speaking of which, he was in She's the Man.
Oh, yeah, he was.
But before that, he was in Coach Carter.
Mm.
And the first movie I remember him in, like where he got his big role, Step Up.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, he is in Step
That's
Up.
That's right.
By the way,
he was also in Step Up to the Streets.
Both Channing Tatum movies that came out this summer. I guess we're in the end of summer right now.
Technically, we're in fall now.
Yeah. Both of the summer movies Channing Tatum starred in, both feature John Denver songs, because Logan Lucky's big little song was West Virginia.
Huh.
Let it be known, Stephen was right. Magic Mike came before 21 Jump Street.
Really?
Both in the same year, but Magic Mike came first.
Okay. That's why I would get confused. Fair point. All out.
Critics say the fight scenes are too ridiculous, but the most unbelievable part to me is that anyone would turn down Pedro Pascal at a bar. From user Ho Lang on Reddit. Yeah.
So, and this isn't the first movie that Channing Tatum got fucked over with being shown as, yeah, he's starring in this, but then 5 minutes of screen time. G.I. Joe Retaliation fucked him over first. Mm. He was in that for 5 minutes. The beginning 5 minutes, and then died. Like, yeah, Duke, the leader of G.I. Joe, the fucking leader of G.I. Joe.
But then they actually introduced Joe, who was Bruce Willis.
After they killed Duke, who is the known canon leader of G.I. Joe.
All right, I think we've diverted enough.
Yo, Joe!
It's 9:30. I need to eat.
I need to go to sleep.
Let's end this.
I've been wearing a hood for like 5 hours.
Phrasing.
You are the blue hood.
Well, no, I like this hoodie a lot, and it's really comfy.
Let's call it good here, then.
So, as always, thank you, lovely listeners, for listening to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast.
Don't you dare drop that on the table.
I'm not. We've been playing with pool table balls throughout this.
We've been playing with our balls the whole time.
Yes. And a D20.
Juggling them.
Zach's D20.
Ooh, we're getting that ASMR.
Thank you guys for listening. Like I said, as jokey as we are, and if you really enjoyed us talking about Kingsman, you should probably go see it yourself. We actually didn't talk about the plot, really. We just talked about, like, fuck, I can't believe this character died and these characters didn't have much screen time. I can't wait till other famous movie podcasts start talking about it. Also, goddamn, I forgot to mention I saw Unfriended.
Oh, God.
Oh, did you? Why would you do that?
It was pretty bad.
Why would you do... What did you expect out of a horror movie?
It was a free ticket.
We don't need to talk about it.
My friend was like, hey, do you want to come? Girlfriend bailed. I'm like, sure. It was pretty bad. We were in the theater and we talked about how bad it looked. Anyways, thank you for listening. If you like us, please leave us a review on the iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever else you listen to us. Even our website, even. Because whatever activity activates on those things, it kind of rises us in popularity thanks to the special magical algorithms that we don't understand. Also, be sure to give us a rating. If you say, like, hey, these guys, 5-star podcast, it would really brighten our days in this cold, bleak September.
It's very cold.
Have we gotten a review from Tim yet?
Going to call him out?
Yeah,
we have.
I think we've talked about Tim every episode.
If we have, I'm not sure.
I think we need to talk about Jim more. There, yeah. Jim, you got to mention too. Love Jim's you, boo. Back. Love you, boo thing.
Shout out to Gabriel Canada for always commenting on us on Facebook too. You're pretty sweet, dude.
Shout out to everyone who listens to us.
Shout out to all 145 or 8 of you.
We need all of you to like and comment on our next one so we can call you out by name individually.
Joe Vallon. Brittany. Brian.
Jim. Tim.
Mom. Dad. Steven's mom.
My parents don't listen to it. I forbid them from my. I think my dad tried to listen to like the first 5 minutes of one. He's like, "Yeah, I had no idea what the fuck you guys were talking about." Like, I told you, it's not for you.
We're like this little nerdy niche inside of a niche where there's other niches. People.
I can go for some quiche right now.
I just want to eat. Let's go.
All right, night guys. We're done. Bye. Love you, internet.